Good morning. It's another wonderful day. God has blessed us to be here in the house of the Lord, and we hope and pray that we've come this morning wanting to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That last song we sang, thought about the words. We sing it very often in introduction to the preaching service, but just thought about the words as we were singing it. Lord, in thy presence, here we meet. I hope and pray that that's what we came here this morning to meet in his presence. It says, may we in thee be found. You know, we can't worship without him. Oh, make the place divinely sweet and let thy grace abound. We need that. Just beg a continued interest in your prayers this morning as hopefully what is said would be of God's truth and be according to his will and be what we need as a church. What's been impressed upon my heart still is Hebrews chapter 10. Last week, very feebly tried to speak on verse 25. But in my studies this week, the Lord just kept leading me back to chapter 10. I believe, and I've heard many ministers say, and just by the way that Hebrews is laid out, that the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews, what Paul is teaching us here in chapter 10. The first part of the chapter, he's talking about the law. It is a shadow of good things to come. Chapter 10, verse 1, he says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of these things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. In other words, he goes on to explain in later verses, the blood of bulls and goats could not make us clean, could not cleanse us from our sins. Verse 4 says, this is where he speaks about that. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It couldn't do it. But there's one that did. And in verse 9 and 10, he says, and then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It was Jesus Christ that came. He was that perfect sacrifice. The law was a shadow of good things to come. He was the perfect, spotless, unblemished lamb that came and took away our sins. And then up in verse 14. He says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He hath perfected us forever, those that are sanctified, those that are set apart, those that are his, those that he came to save from their sins. Then in verse 16 he says, well, let me go back to verse 15. He says, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In reading these verses here, I thought of Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, when we are born again, he writes those laws in our heart and in our mind. He makes us alive to know him, to want to serve him, to want to do that which is right. I know in myself, I have not always done and honored him as I should, because we have this sinful body, this flesh and blood with us here in this world. We don't always make the right decisions, but when we're born again, we are able to know him and to know that he loved us even though we are what we are. He says in verse 17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." Our sins have been remitted. They have been paid. They have been canceled, if you will. There's no more offering for sin because Jesus did it. He was that perfect sacrifice. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And this is the verse that I've been stuck on this week, is verse 22. Let us draw near. And really, as I was studying this, there's three "let us" phrases in the next previous the next three verses, starting in verse 22, and that got me to thinking. You know, "let us" is a phrase of exhortation, a phrase of we say, you know, "let's go, let us go." It's encouraging, you know, let us go somewhere, let us do something. Let us draw near with a true heart. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you." Let us draw near to God. Let us look to him, be close to him with a true heart, with a truthful heart, a humble heart, looking to him, trusting in him. Proverbs, one of my favorite verses, Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding." True heart, the phrase there, John Gill, in reading some of his commentary, I liked what he said. He says, a heart that is renewed, a heart that is right with God, a heart that is single and sincere, a heart that is looking only to him for guidance and direction. In full assurance of faith, in full confidence of him, of what he has done for us, of the love he has for us, that we can trust him. What he says he will do, he does. What he has done for us, he accomplished it. Jesus said, "It is finished. It is done." Jesus has done the work for us. Back up in, lost my place. Verse 19, he says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness." And in my center column here, the reference, it says, or another word could be used as liberty, the freedom to come before him, to go out and do, to let us draw near. And having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Chapter 9, verse 14, talking about the sprinkling. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" know, he's talking about there, he says, back up to verse 13, he says, "For the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall Christ's blood cleanse us from, purge us, and make us clean?" But let us draw near. You know, oftentimes we tend to look to self in, you know, whatever it might be that comes up in our lives, you know, situations at work or in the family, we tend to look to self to try to solve the issue. And we turn away from God, you know, thinking that, well, I can handle this. But it's better to draw nigh to God. It's better to look to Him. For He knows what we're going through. He knows what we need. And we trust in Him and look to Him for, you know, for those times, whatever it might be that we are going through. And we all have problems and issues that we have in our lives that we're dealing with. So let us draw nigh to Him. Let us look to Him with a true heart and full assurance of faith, knowing that, as He also says there in verse 23, it says, "For He is faithful that promised." You know, God is faithful to take care of us. Also, He says in, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 13, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He will take care of us in all that we in all that we need. And what a blessing that is to know that. What a peace and comfort that is in knowing that. You know, the things that have gone on with Dad the previous months, you know, there was never doubt in my mind that no matter what the outcome would be, I knew that he was in God's hand. I knew that God was going to take care of me. You know, and that's, you know, that's part of that drawing near to God and trusting in Him with a true heart and in full assurance of faith. I hope and pray that these things were a blessing to you, and ask that the Lord will continue to bless Brother Clayton.